Amen. Good to be able to stand before you this morning as we have assembled here for the purpose of worshiping God as He directs us in His Word in a manner that is pleasing to Him, in a manner that it is that is in accord with His Word. Good to see each of you here this morning. We want to mention, before we get into our lesson this morning, what a great vacation Bible school we experienced this past week. If you enjoyed vacation Bible school last week, say amen, please.
Amen.
Certainly, I enjoyed it. We had a great number of individuals who contributed to the success of our vacation Bible school. We want to express our appreciation to all of those who taught the young people's classes, as well as those who taught the adult class. I want to express appreciation for all of our teachers. I also want to express appreciation for those who worked with the registration committee. We appreciate the fine job that they did. Likewise, we want to express appreciation to those who work with the refreshment committee. We always can count on our refreshment folk. Likewise, we are appreciative of those who worked in various support functions. We had some young men who really worked real well and made some very notable contributions to the Vacation Bible School. We had a number of persons who provided door prizes. We are thankful for them. Some donated individual prizes and others donated gift cards. And we certainly appreciate that very much. We had Kroger, the marketplace in Gallatin, donated us the fruit. Also, we want to mention that the Sumner County Farmers Co-op allowed us the usage of their baskets. So a lot of folk contributed to the success of our Vacation Bible School. I want to mention also, and finally, we want to express appreciation to Sister Tamika Jones. She was the driving force behind the last night's carnival, the fair, downstairs. She received a great deal of help from her mother, as well as some others. I don't want to leave anybody out, but each of you worked hard to ensure the success of this year's Vacation Bible School 2013. We like to give honor to whom honor is due. The Bible says, withhold not any good thing from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Whenever we can encourage good works and involvement, we need to take time out to do so. Also, I want to express appreciation to all of those who attended, those who were in Vacation Bible School, whatever class you were in, especially those who attended each and every session. We had a great number of adults who attended each session. We had a great number of teens who attended each session as well. So thank you, one and all, for whatever contribution you made to the success of our 2013 Vacation Bible School. I wanted to just share those few words with you. And we want you to know that we are thankful for you, and we are grateful for the wonderful spirit of unity and cooperation that prevailed throughout our Vacation Bible School last week. Get your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother David Love. I think it is altogether fitting and proper that we focus on this first chapter of the book of Esther and focus on the shining star of chapter 1, the book of Esther. When I speak of the shining star, I'm speaking of the queen that was on the throne and in power at the beginning of the book. Little is said in the Bible about Vashti. The book in which we read about her revolves around another queen, Queen Esther. She's well known, highly regarded and celebrated. She was known for her beauty and she was known for her courage and she was known for her discretion. But by no means, in my estimation, does the greatness of Queen Esther eclipse the greatness of her predecessor, Vashti. Vashti is certainly the shining star in the opening paragraphs of the book of Esther. We cannot help but appreciate certain things about her. How many of you had heard of Vashti before? Anybody not heard of Vashti before? How many of you had heard of Queen Esther before? Any of y'all heard of Queen Esther? I know some Queen Esthers, young ladies whose parents named them Queen Esther. I don't know of any parents who named their daughter Vashti, but Vashti has a lot to teach us, and we want to look at some of those lessons today. As we talk to you using as the specific title of our lesson, Vouching for the Virtue of Vashti. Vouching for the Virtue of Vashti. When we think about virtue, we think about morality. We think about conforming to a standard of right. We think about moral excellence and spiritual strength when we think about virtue. Virtue is further defined as a beneficial quality or power of a thing, a commendable quality or trait. So when we say vouching for the virtue of Vashti. We are saying that we are affirming, we are applauding, we are recognizing the virtue of Vashti. We are going to bat for the virtue of Vashti. We are commending the virtue of Vashti. There is much about this illustrious king, a queen, much about this illustrious queen that we can commend and that we can emulate, not only as sisters, ladies, young ladies, but boys, young men, as well as adult men, older men. There is something about Vashti that we can admire and that we can emulate. Vashti was a woman of great physical beauty. Her husband was the most powerful man in the world. He was showing off his riches and his power. And in his drunken state, decided to show off his beautiful wife. The Bible says he had commanded his chamberlains or the eunuchs that worked for him in verse number 11 to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth. He was furious, and his anger burned in him. When he sent his servants to bring Vashti, that she might come and put her beauty on display before the king and his lecherous cohorts, drunken with wine, with lowered inhibitions, clouded judgment. He sent for them to bring the queen that he might put her beauty on display before this crowd, because she was attractive, she was pretty, she was beautiful. The name Vashti signifies a beautiful or excellent woman in Persian. Good physical appearance can be a great blessing or a great cursing. It can be a great asset to a man or a woman to have physical beauty. No doubt that is one of the main reasons which caused Vashti to be selected as queen. And beauty, handsomeness, pulchritude might help one gain friends. It might help one get a job. It might help one be popular, be influential, or even to get a husband or a wife. There's something to be said positive about a beautiful or attractive person. But a woman's being beautiful or a man being handsome can be allowed to become a curse or a liability. Look at the case of Joseph as he served in Potiphar's house. The Bible speaks of him as a goodly person and well favored in Genesis 39 and verse number 6. But Joseph handled the situation. Some do not. Because of his attractiveness, Potiphar's wife laid her eyes on him, and she sought to seduce him. Now, if he had been short, freckle-faced, and ugly, he wouldn't have had that as a problem. But because he was apparently a very handsome individual, he attracted her attention, and she kept after him, and eventually he ended up in prison because he was falsely accused by his master's wife. The Bible says Bathsheba was a very beautiful woman to look upon. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 2. But look at what her beauty caused her and David to do. So don't feel that with reference to beauty, it is all some might think it is cracked up to be. You might be blessed because you are not as beautiful as you would like to be, or because you are not as handsome as you would like to be. You might not have the troubles that beautiful folk experience, that handsome folk experience. When we look at some boys and girls and men and women who are physically beautiful or handsome, there are some temptations that just don't come to them. And in a very real sense, we can say that some of those folk are better off not being handsome, better off not being beautiful. For some who are beautiful, who are handsome, it would be a blessing perhaps if they were fat and ugly. Now, I know that might sound strange, but you have a certain burden of responsibility with reference to beauty or with reference to handsomeness. God confers those gifts, and God wants us to be good stewards of whatever he has blessed us with. If you have great intelligence, if you have great physical beauty, God wants you to be a good steward of that beauty, a good steward of that attractiveness, a good steward of the intellectual powers that God has granted to you. God wants you to properly manage what he has blessed you with. And for beautiful people, always remember that beauty is as beauty does. And always remember that God attaches great value to the inner person, more so than the outer person. Yeah, we know that there are people who have inner beauty, and there are people who have inner beauty and also have outer beauty. That's a nice combination. And some of you might be looking for that kind of combination. But we want to recognize that it is more important to be beautiful on the inside, to have high moral standards to be characterized by good spiritual values. That is highly prized and appreciated by God. We remember the story of the selection of the king of Israel over in 1 Samuel chapter 6, chapter 16 rather, where the Bible says God sent Samuel down to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. He was the father of David and his brothers. When the very first of the sons, turned or appeared rather before Samuel, the Bible says immediately Samuel thought that the Lord's anointed was before him. He immediately concluded, because of the physical appearance of the first son, that the Lord's choice had been thus made. But the Bible lets us know that that was not God's choice. God looked at the inside rather than at the outside. The Bible says in verse number 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And the Lord could see beyond the external veneer, rather than looking upon the countenance or upon the statue. The Lord looked upon the heart, and that's the way he looks at us. You don't have to be beautiful to be recognized and appreciated by God. Let's make sure that our hearts are right with the Lord. Let us make sure that we're beautiful on the inside. Vashti, she had a nice package deal because she was beautiful outside, and it is apparent that she was beautiful on the inside as well. Vashti attached great importance to modesty and decency. There's no indication she was asked to appear improperly dressed, although some seem to think so. The Bible says, however, she was commanded to appear before the king and his drunken cohorts to put her beauty on display. It was a gross insult to ask the queen to parade her beauty before this drunken crowd so they might feast their eyes on her. Had the king been sober, he doubtless would not have made such a demand. Alcohol causes people to do things they would otherwise not do. So alcohol lowers your inhibitions. Alcohol clouds your judgment. That's why we encourage God's people to refrain from drinking alcohol. And the Bible contains numerous warnings against the consumption of alcohol. Had the king been sober, no doubt he would not have made this request of his wife. The king was the most powerful monarch on earth, ruling from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. Vashti knew all of this. She knew that his word was law. She knew he could and probably would remove the royal crown from her head, and that he even had the power to put her to death. But modesty and decency were more important and more valuable than the crown that she wore on her head as the Persian queen. It seems that she had a built-in sense of modesty, of decency, and of propriety. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, Paul writing to Timothy, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So if you want to really dress up, then dress up in good works. And that's not to say that women should not look good or not dress well, but the preponderance of the emphasis should not be on the physical, on the outward, but it should be rather on the heart, and it should be rather on doing those things that become women professing godliness. Women who dress immodestly have stepped down several steps from the dignity exemplified by Vashti. Women who expect to be treated with respect must dress in such a way as to demand respect. Is there anyone who would have greater respect for Vashti had she conformed to the wishes of the king on this occasion? Would you think more highly of Vashti if she had complied with the demand made by the king, if she had paraded her beauty, if she'd put her beauty on display before this drunken crowd? Would you have more respect for her or less respect for her? Would you? I think you would have less respect for her rather than more respect. Queen Vashti, she did choose to do right. That is always the right choice, regardless of the cost. Queen Vashti did choose to have a good conscience. Paul in Acts 24 and verse 16 said, "Herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." I'm sure even though she was deposed, removed from her throne, removed from her position, and we don't know what else might have happened to her, but she apparently had and maintained a good conscience, and she was comfortable with the choice that she made. Vashti did choose to maintain a good name. We are told in Proverbs 22 and verse 1, A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. She did choose to leave a good example for those who would follow after. 2.5 millennia later, 2,500 years later, we still admire and respect Vashti because of the choices that she made. She did choose self-respect. My question is, what kind of choices are you making each day? What kind of choices are you making as young people, as adult people, as older people? What kind of choices are you making? Sometimes the choices that we make will cause us to be rejected. The choices that we make will cost us dearly. But if you can make the right choice, despite what making the right choice will lead to a cause to happen to you, if you can be assured of having the approval of God, and if you can be assured of having a good relationship with Him, if you can be assured of making heaven your eternal home, it's worth it all the way. If you can be faithful unto death and have the assurance of a crown of life, you can stand fast, stand firm, and stand faithful, as did Vashti. Paul tells us that whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We can learn a lot from Old Testament principles and concepts. We can learn a lot from Old Testament characters. And I think that basically Vashti is one of those characters that has been overlooked and neglected. But she was a woman of principle. She was a woman of character. She was a woman of decency. She was a woman of commitment. She was a woman who stood up for what was right. She was a woman who refused to bow to peer pressure, even though her husband, the king, was the most powerful man on the earth. She just simply put her foot down and she says, "No, I am not going to comply with your request." "Well, you're going to lose the crown, Vashti." "I don't care. I am going to stand up for what I know is right. You're going to possibly go into exile. I don't care. I'm going to stand up for what is right. You're going to lose your position. I don't care. I'm going to still stand for what is right. You're going to lose your riches. I don't care. I'm going to still stand up for what is right. You're going to lose your prestige. I don't care. I'm going to still stand for what is right." You're going to have taken away from you all of the accoutrements that come with being the queen. In essence, she said, "I do not care. I'm still going to stand up for what is right. I'm going to be faithful to my values. I want to be faithful faithful to my convictions. I'm going to be faithful to my moral principles. And I am not going to come out there and parade my beauty before these drunken and lecherous men. King, take your best shot. Do whatever you want to do to me. I don't care because I am living by a higher authority. I'm living and submitting myself, subjecting myself to a higher authority. We don't know whether she'd accepted the God of Israel as her God, but we do know that her values mirrored the values of God's word and that which was embraced by God's people. Young people, old people, don't allow anybody cause you to violate your conscience. Don't let anybody cause you to violate your principles. Don't let anybody cause you to go against the grain of what you believe. Stand for right. Stand for virtue. Stand for morality. And don't let anybody move you from your particular stance. Vouching for the virtue of Vashti, let's emulate her. If you're here today, and maybe you've not taken a stand for that which is right, maybe you have not maintained your position for that which is according to the standard contained in God's word. Maybe you're already a Christian. Maybe you have lapsed in your stance for truth and right. You can rededicate your life today through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become one today by hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He died for us. He was buried and he was resurrected. All of this was done according to the scriptures. It was done for our salvation. You've heard that good news. I hope you appreciate it. I hope you accept it. And I hope you're willing to not just believe it, but to obey it. Through repentance, confession, and prayer. Now is a good time to take your stand upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Make the good confession, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and arise to walk in the newness of life. If you are here, and you want to obey the gospel of Christ, we're going to encourage you to do it. If you are here and you have fallen by the wayside, you have lapsed into sin, we hope you'll take the proper corrective measures, and we hope you'll do it now as we together stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain? For you and me, thirsty soul.